The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, y'all, said friends, that heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Get ready for a bunch of NFL rookies to be dripped out in the number zero. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the guy getting a massive kick out of major NFL reporters tweeting out details regarding likely undrafted prospects as a blatant favorite agents. And with me, as always, is AJ Hendon Hooker, no matter what, Marchese.
I bet you didn't know until today that Bumper Pool's friends call him Bump.
And he is recovering from a hit pointer or something, but he'll be ready to go. Today we'll be breaking down our top tight ends in the 2023 NFL Draft. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven
with my baby. Driving out to KC, maybe. Looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. The tight end class this year is serious, AJ.
It's serious.
It is serious. We've had a couple stinkers.
Well, hold on now, Robert.
Oh, okay.
Last year, yeah, on paper was a stinker, but then a lot of guys produced.
No, fair. But, I mean, in terms of, like, top, like, what, yeah. 2020 was bad. Wasn't 2020 the Cole Kmet year? Or was that 2019?
I don't know.
And yeah, it was 2020.
Yeah.
That draft was brutal for tight ends. 2021, we had Kyle Pitts, so that obviously helped.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Oh, and of course, John Bates, your guy. and then, you're right, last year, on paper, pre-draft.
Stinker.
Not a super top-heavy class, for sure. Bit of a stinker. But you know what? Last year, there was 19 tight ends drafted.
I know. I looked at that today, and I couldn't believe it. It's weird, right?
And that's the most. I only looked at the last 5 years, but that's the most by far.
It's weird. 2021...
the least with 11. On average, the last 5 years, there's been 14.4 tight ends drafted. I'm going to take the over on that this year. But I do think, while last year it lacked star power, Trey McBride being the first tight end selected, and
a very underwhelming rookie season from him.
And Jelani Woods kind of being that late riser because he's a freak show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Greg Dulcich, I think, would have had a really good year without the injuries. But overall, more solid guys, deep class.
Yeah.
Nobody super spectacular, but a bunch of guys who contributed to their team as rookies. Your guy, Chig Okonkwo,
yep.
Kind of leading the way there, obviously, last pick of the fourth round. Whereas this year, I think it's more top-heavy, but I don't think we're getting to 19 tight ends drafted.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it will be too far off, but
no. How many draft tools do you have?
I have 16.
Okay, I have 17.
Okay, that makes sense. And then I have 7 top 100 grades.
As do I. Yes. And I think there's some guys who I have fourth round grades on who could end up in the third round. I wouldn't be shocked if we approach double digit tight ends selected in the top 120, I'll say.
I was going to ask you, like, do you think just the depth of the class is going to push them down the board, or do you think, like, with the receiver group not being so spectacular, yep, and
bingo,
the class as a whole not being spectacular, that, like, it's like, okay, we need a difference maker pass catcher. Let's take, yep, you know, Luke Musgrave instead of.
So what I think will happen is the first round will have the, like, where we've got four tight ends kind of being talked about as potential first round picks.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have four go. I think we'll have two go. And I think those kind of top end guys will get pushed down slightly, not too much, but slightly. But then we'll have a run on day two.
I think that's fair. And
I think it's because, like you said, just not a ton of difference making receivers, not a clear cut. I mean, coming off our receiver show, we had very different orders. And I think that just speaks to how jumbled up this class is. Whereas tight ends, I think it's clearer. But at the same time, in recent history, like, tight ends don't translate to the NFL right away.
Yeah.
There's, like, I think a good example is, like, look at O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
Well, the foolproof tight end prospect, yeah, right? And in that same class, David Njoku, who went from kind of being a risky pick, betting on traits, some people thought he was a bust, gets that big deal that maybe he hasn't earned yet, and then he really had a great year this year. He did,
yeah. No, I know. I know this is off topic, but that just makes Kyle Pitts' rookie year just look even more special. But yeah, no, I agree with you. That being said, I think we can see a couple of these guys definitely go out and be fairly productive in their rookie year. And another piece of that wide receiver class to the tight end class puzzle equation, if you will, a lot of undersized receivers. So if a team wants more of a big body type, you know, they can look at this tight end class rather than you know, going after Tank Dell. I don't know why I picked Tank Dell, but whoever.
And I think it's interesting, too, if you kind of look at the landscape of the NFL with the tight end position right now. If you've got one of those truly elite guys, it's mm-hmm. such a difference maker. Obviously, Travis Kelce leading the way in that regard, and George Kittle when he's fully healthy. But we've talked about it on previous tight end shows in previous years. It's still such a muddled position when you're trying to rank it. I think naturally it's Travis Kelce 1, it's George Kittle 2, and it's like Mark Andrews, Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just mucky, and I think if you look at how the free agent class played out too, like Dalton Schultz was supposed to be the hot free agent tight end, right? Gets a 1-year $9 million deal with Houston,
mm-hmm.
which great, great move by Houston, mm-hmm. I think. But that just, I think, speaks to two things. One being the talent coming in this class, so why overpay for a tight end when you could draft one? And two, just how uncertain the position is in the NFL right now if you're not one of those true blue elite all-pro type guys. I mean, look at Bob Tonyan 2 years ago. He was the dude in Green Bay, and now his career's kind of fallen off immediately.
Yeah, he's on the Bears. Yeah, very much so. I mean, you know what's also crazy? Because, like, I definitely agree. This is a very good tight end class. Like I said, top seven top 100 picks for me. I'm going to ask you how many first-round grades you've gotten in a second and another question. But it's kind of crazy that all that being said, the best tight end in college football last year isn't in this draft class. So maybe here comes the wave.
Kate Stover chose to go back.
Yeah. And Eric all transferred. But no, like, maybe that's like you said, it's kind of been a muddled, like, position group in the NFL. Maybe this is the wave coming.
It's also been a position that I think it's been hard to justify taking in the first round. Obviously, yeah. Kyle Pitts, a true outlier, just with his rare traits, his rare size, his rare production. And I think, like you alluded to, Brock Bowers will probably be in a similar position next year when he comes out. But at the same time, like, it's hard to justify drafting a tight end in the first round. Like, TJ Hawkinson was second among tight ends in receiving yards this season. First round pick, right?
Yep.
Top 10 pick. Detroit traded him midseason to Minnesota.
Yeah. And it worked out, but I don't think either side is upset about the move, right?
But at the same time, like, is TJ Hawkinson an elite tight end despite being second among all tight ends and receiving yards? Like, it's tough. Or you know, which tight end after Hawkinson that was a first-round pick that comes next in total receiving yards? It was Evan Engram, who's on his second team, was on a prove-it deal with Jacksonville. Got franchise tag, and it really paid off. But it's just a very interesting position, I think. And I'm interested to see how it plays out in this year's draft, just given the talent we have, but also just can you really justify taking this tight end in the first round when I can get maybe this tight end who's 90% of that on day two?
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's interesting. So that leads to my two questions here. One, how many first round grades, if any, do you have? And two, how early do you see that first tight end go?
I don't have any first round grades.
Neither do I. I have a 4 second round grades, but I don't have any first.
But at the same time, I have three tight ends who will likely be in my top 32.
Yeah, I think
despite not having a first round grade.
Yeah, I could probably
definitely
say
I'll have two.
Two locks. Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. And then your question:
where do we see that first tight end go?
Where do I see one going? Is I guess kind of one of the first places you look is Green Bay at 15, but they're in such a weird position right now. It really depends how the board falls on top of that. You can look at Cincinnati. I don't think signing Irv Smith means they're not taking a tight end at 28.
I like that signing, though, but yes, agreed.
Yeah, me too. It's a low bust, big reward type signing.
I like that a lot, too. Yeah, go on.
The Chargers are another team.
Yep.
The Giants, like,
I've seen the Commanders getting mocked, but I don't. Yeah.
I feel like they have so many holes. They should definitely not take a tight end. But hey, there's definitely a couple teams. I like I said, I see two. I don't know which two, but I think I see two tight ends going in the first round.
Yeah,
and I'm not totally sure where though.
Yeah, agreed. It's gonna be interesting. But like, where would you put the odds of having a tight end taken in the teens?
I'll say 25%.
So chance. There's a chance, but it's fairly low. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about like 25% chance Bijan goes there too. You know, I don't know. It's tough.
I think there's gonna be a lot of surprises on draft night as we dig into this class.
Yeah, when Hendon Hooker goes fifth. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. I think there's a pretty clear highest four tight end in this class.
Yeah, who is it then?
It's Michael Meyer of Notre Dame.
Agreed.
Don't overthink it.
I agree. Even though he's not my tight end one, no spoilers. But
okay, I that goes back to don't overthink Michael Meyer, AJ. I'm telling you.
I think I am overthinking him. I'm pretty. I'm
I
like
think you are too.
I have him for my highest floor. I think I'm not going to debate that. I'm not super high on Michael Meyer. I'm not super high though.
I think he is one of the safest players in the entire draft. I have a hard time seeing him not being a top 12 tight end for a decade. Not only does he have some of the best and strongest hands in this group, he's kind of the most well-rounded in terms of he's a classic Y tight end who can line up in line.
Yep.
He's not like a dominant blocker, but he gets the job done. I think there are some things he can work on, leverage, hand placement.
Yeah.
But he is a far more effective. Yeah, exactly. Like he has the want to, which is huge. I think at the same time, is far more effective than some of these other tight ends. And he is just a monster in contested catch situations. He is terrific in traffic. He makes every combat catch. He also has a great understanding of when to settle down in the hole and zone coverage and just be a chain mover. To me, this is Heath Miller. It's not going to be a sexy tight end like a Travis Kelce, but he is going to start for you for a decade. I don't think he's like your, like I said, he's not Travis Kelce. He's not going to be your number one receiver at tight end, but he can be your go-to second, third option, and he's going to help you in the run game.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot. I mean, my compliments to Heath Miller, but Zach Miller. Arizona State, that is.
Thank goodness.
No, yeah, I agree with a lot. Like, you know, like his ability to use his body at the catch point is really impressive. And, like, he just, the contact and the traffic just doesn't faze him at all. And I think that's what's going to translate quickly. And, you know, he could potentially become, I know, like, what you just talked about, it takes a while for tight ends to translate. But, like, you can definitely see him becoming that, like, you know, 10-year vet who maybe he's got a rookie quarterback coming in, and like that rookie quarterback just feeds him. You know what I mean? Like that quarterback best friend type, but not a guy that's gonna, you know, like, you know, it's he's not gonna be, ever be an explosive pass catching option. But,
no,
but a guy that, you know, he's got enough speed to work the seams for sure. He ran about 4.7 flat, like that's fine, more than fine. But yeah, like and again, the blocking, like no, it's not perfect. Like the hand placement needs work. I think like he can probably get stronger too. But the effort was great, and you see him finishing blocks too, and like the solid pop in his hands there into blocks. My one thing like is kind of funky, is like I wonder what his playing weight is, because he was listed at 265 right at Notre Dame, came to the combine at 249, and tested pretty well. So I wonder if like if his, you know, is he playing at 260 or where's that at? That's something that kind of caught my eye.
I think he'll be 6'5", 255 probably.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, if you add that extra 6 pounds, you're not going to, you know, drop to a 4.9 or anything scary, but yeah.
He looks big on tape.
He does. Like, he looks way bigger than he's listed.
Yeah, he's a bit of a throwback too, where like he does a really good job. I thought using that frame to kind of subtly push off and create space.
Yeah, he's physical. Or yeah, agreed.
Yeah, boxing out defenders as well, like, I just, he seems so safe to me. Like, again, this is, I guess, I don't have a first round grade on him, but I have a high end second round grade, and I just see him being like every other Notre Dame tight end.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a long term starter, a very safe option, maybe make a couple Pro Bowls. I don't think he necessarily has that juice to be some dynamo who kind of moves around formations. Plays a ton in the slot, although he did line up in the slot at times for Notre Dame. He's just very much like a Heath Miller, or I guess Zach Miller.
Who is better than Heath.
Inline wide tight end, baby.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. I'm a little lower on him than you are in total because I think just because of the group, you know, because there's some guys that could really, you know, turn into a weapon. But that being said, take him in the second round. I have a second round grade on him, but not an early second.
But at the same time, what if the Bengals took him at 28? Don't you just think?
I think it's fine. Yeah, no,
it's not a sexy pick, but he's gonna start for them for 10 years mm-hmm. and be a very competent, good player. But I guess so. Who's your highest ceiling?
My highest ceiling, Rob?
Yeah, going from Michael Mayer to. Highest ceiling.
I think that being said, I think a lot of these are kind of tougher to split. Highest floor is kind of clear, even though Mayer is not my tight end one.
I think you're right, though. He is very clearly the highest floor, and these other ones, there's a couple toss-ups.
So let me spoil. I'll spoil it. Michael Mayer is my tight end four. He's my tight end four.
Oh, that's such a bad
team. Okay, we'll get into it. I mean, it's just upside potential, and we'll talk about it later. we'll talk about it with the other guys later.
That is such a bad team.
Okay. My high ceiling, though, I went with Utah's Dalton Kincaid.
That's another bad take. Okay.
Who'd you put?
Big Darnell.
I put him for best bet. And he would be my runner-up for highest floor and probably highest ceiling, too. Washington.
Dalton Kincaid, best ball skills of the group.
Yeah.
My concerns with Dalton Kincaid, he is... 3 years older pretty much than everyone. He's been dealing with a back injury. We didn't get to see him test.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of red flags. I still have a high second round grade. Like, it's not like I dislike him.
Yeah.
I can't believe when I'm seeing him as like the 11th overall pick.
No, that's insane.
That just seems so crazy. Okay, at least you're with me on that.
Oh no, I don't have any first round grades. He is my tight end one. But the top four guys are hard for me to split. I'll say that.
Damn, I thought Luke Shoemaker would be your one.
He's my five. But yeah, like his blocking is the worst of those top guys, though. It's not even close.
I will give him this. He tries.
I was going to say that when we said that earlier, where like, I feel like there's not, I don't even know if there's any of these, like, at least in the top 10, maybe even further. Even of all my draft targets, everyone has high effort. Yeah, everyone tries hard. He just, you know, he's a guy that he's got that narrow build. He just doesn't have the strength to him. You know, he just really doesn't. And whatever, you know, like as we, you know, in the NFL more and more, maybe it might swing back a little, but you know, the blocking doesn't as matter as much as what you can do in the passing game. For what he's being drafted for, of course. But that being said, I do think like he can struggle against some more physical DBs at times, and that could be a concern in the NFL. He's not, what is he? He's turning 24 in October, isn't he? He's not that much older.
Yeah, I think he's 2 years older than
like Meyer everyone. And Washington. I think Musgrave's 23. I think.
Yeah, he is, and Shoemaker's 24 already.
Yeah, well, he's the best. But yeah, like I do say, going back to his blocking quickly, he will offer some blocking space. Like, he uses the athleticism to get on top of guys, so ask him to do that. I think he'll be okay. But then, yeah, like you said, the ball skills are great. Like, he's got the best hands in this class. He's damn natural, so strong. And they're big. I think he might have the biggest hands amongst, well, other than Washington. But
yeah,
he's got 11 inch hands. But for normal human beings, he has the biggest hands, yeah.
Yeah, Kincaid, 10 and a quarter. Yep. Which are also, given his size, are bigger than you'd expect.
Yes.
Yeah, best ball skills in the class. He's really good through traffic, mm-hmm. Despite maybe not being as big as some of these other guys. He is got really good body control, and I think like his maybe the best part about him is he's a big time chain mover. He is so good at just settling down, being the QB's best friend, picking up 7 yards on a 3rd and 6, over the middle, generally speaking. He's very Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I think that's the comp I stole and put on him too. I agree with you. I do say, like, if anyone in this group becomes, you know, like that high end receiving threat, I think it's Dalton Kincaid. And not saying that other guys can't. It's just, I think he'll be the best.
No, I think so too. Yeah. He is the most easily projectable to that.
Yeah, I totally understand the concerns. I'm there with you on that.
I was more playing devil's advocate, no, just so you know.
That's what it's for. No, I know you're not. I know you're not. I think our grade's probably the exact same. But, like, it just, like, not having testing worries me, but you throw on the tape and you're not worried about that. And then, like, I love, like, in this whole class, I think it's just like that, the lower body flexibility and the ankle flexibility just like leads to him like being such a nimble route runner and having that snap to his route. And then, like, you know, like you said, the hands are great, the ball skills are great. You know, he's jumping, his timing, his jumps very well, and combat catches, check, check, check. And then, like, after the catch, like, he's just like, he turns into a runner instantly and makes guys miss. Like, it's a good combo of, like, some, like, you know, speed, like pretty good speed for a guy, like a tight end. Good elusiveness, some power. I just think overall, like, he's just the most complete pass catcher of the group. Is he the most complete rounded tight end? No, because the blocking is pretty suspect, but at least the effort is there. But just, I think he has the best chance of being like a true, like not that other guys can't, but just being like a true like, weapon,
yeah,
in the passing
game. The F tight end who moves around, who is consistently second on the team in targets.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. It's just, I think there's more concerns with him. And now I'm not saying this about you because you don't have him here, but like just seeing him being this like top 15 guy on boards,
I don't see,
seems so crazy to me.
I don't see that.
And I think there's more red flags with him than kind of being talked about. Just given we never saw him test,
yeah,
which isn't the end of the world. But given how well all the other tight ends tested,
I think he is a really good athlete. He looks like a really good athlete. But that being said, like, if he goes out, it would have been very easy for him to test the worst of the group. And that doesn't necessarily mean he was test poorly. Not the whole group, but, you know, the top guys. That doesn't mean he tested poorly, but because these other guys just fucking blew it up.
Also, I just think, like, you got to make sure he lands in the right spot where he's being utilized more. Like, as this flexed out tight end, as a jumbo slot, and as a H-back, and not playing like
in line
as a Y. Like, I saw him mock to the Titans 11, and that just seems repetitive to me, because like Chiga Conquo's, like, whether they're the same level of talent or not, that's a different story, but like they're the same archetype at least.
If the Titans are
drafting a tight end, it should be Darnell Washington.
Yeah, it definitely should. And I like I said, Darnell Washington's my best bet if you're ready to make a case for your highest ceiling.
He's my highest ceiling. He's 6'7". He's over 260 pounds. He's by far the biggest tight end. He's one of the biggest tight ends we've ever seen.
He's an 11-inch hands, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Just looks like an offensive tackle.
He truly does. Yeah.
Playing tight end. 34 3/8-inch arms. Like, he's in the 98th percentile for hand size, 91 for arm length, 98 for wingspan. He is a mammoth. And then he goes out and he runs 4.64. He also went ahead and had a 4.08 short shuttle, which is insane at that size. Yeah. Like, mind-boggling. And obviously, kind of the bugaboo with him is he was never the feature tight end at Georgia. I think that's, like, not one. It part of it is because, like you alluded to earlier, Brock Bowers is there, who has a good chance to be a top 15 pick next year. One of the most dynamic players in the country happens to play the same position as Darnell Washington.
Yeah.
Washington, though, despite that, and this isn't to pick on players who transferred, but Darnell Washington stayed at Georgia, embraced his role as the sixth offensive lineman, being the Y tight end, just being in line all the time, blocking his ass off all the time, which allowed the Bulldogs and your boy Todd Monken to move Brock Bowers around as the F. And I think it just goes to show, like, this guy will do what is asked of him. Plus, they can let him wear the number zero now, which is awesome.
I was about to say, how perfect is it that they announced that when we do our tight ends?
I know, right? he has, like, those hands, that hand size shows up. He just swallows footballs. Like,
man, he the one-handed. Great,
massive, yeah, the one-handed grab at the combine was silly.
But you saw that tape, too.
I was about to say. And then it's like, when the ball's in his hand and he's in the open field, like, you'll see Darnell Washington hurdle over a defender, which is jaw-dropping. And, like, he can high point. He can win 50-50 balls. He was never featured at Georgia, so it's kind of on tape you see it a little less than some of the other top tight ends. But at the same time, like, he only caught two less passes in his career than Luke Musgrave.
Yeah, well, and Musgrave constantly was – or not constantly, but was banged up. Yeah, that's one thing with Musgrave is, like, people kind of ignore the lack of production there. I know he was off to an amazing start in this past season when he had, like, 10 catches both games. But, yeah, I totally agree with it. Anyways, sorry, go on.
And then, yeah, then you get to the – in the run game where Darnell Washington – well, he does need to work on – keeping his feet and his hand placement at times. He's just so big, strong, and athletic that his technique didn't hurt him as a blocker.
I was about to say, man, like, the technique isn't perfect. It can still improve a lot. Like you said, the hand placement, the feet, he kind of ducks his head a bit at times, and, like, his hands and feet not in sync. That's what I think is scary, man. Like, get him with an NFL, get him with the line coach, you know, and he can just get even better, and that's terrifying because I think he was already going to be one of the better run-blocking tight ends in the league. And I feel like we've seen a lot of, like, tight ends come into the NFL, like, who had no idea how to run-block and become pretty good run-blockers. So if you have a guy with this, like, he's already got that high floor to it and that size and that pure – like, he's got, like, crazy upper body strength for a tight end. Like, he can – like, when he pass protects, he looks like another tackle, like, which is – I think is even – maybe even more impressive than his run-blocking, you know? Like, just in a vacuum there – yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he just – that's why he's my highest – he's my runner-up for highest ceiling, but my runner-up for highest floor, and that's why he's my best bet.
Yeah, and then, like, obviously there are things he needs to work on. Like, he is so big that, like, the route running isn't amazing.
Yeah.
He can be a little, slow to get in and out of his breaks. He can be kind of, like – not as explosive at times as you'd hope to see.
Yeah, he's kind of slow off the line, but then he has that build-up speed to him.
And it's just, I think part of it, too, is, like, he's 21 right now. He's going to be 22 as a rookie. And he just hasn't had a ton of reps as a true pass catcher because he spent so much time as this marquee blocker in the run game and in pass protection when they asked him to stay home in six-man protections.
Mm-hmm.
But that, to me, gives him a baseline floor as a dominant blocking tight end who can immediately give some boost to your run game. Like, I don't have a first-round grade on him or anything, but I can understand swinging on what he could be at the end of the first round.
I think if I'm going to take a tight end in the first round, I'm taking Darnell Washington. I know he's not my tight end one because Kincaid is, but I think if I'm going to take one, that's why he's my best bet. That kind of just goes to kind of say that because at the very least, you're getting a guy that's going to play 10 years and be one of the best run blocking and pass blocking tight ends in the league, I think.
This is a weird example, but last year's tight end class was so underwhelming that I ended up with Jelani Woods as my tight end one, and that had, for similar reasons, like, again, not with near the degree Darnell Washington has, but for similar reasons, he ended up my tight end one because of the size, the traits, the potential.
Yeah.
And that's what you're swinging on with Darnell Washington, but at the same time, you're also getting this guy who could quickly become the Mercedes Lewis of blockers at tight end.
I threw that comp down too, by the way.
It's the perfect comp.
Yeah, it is. Because I mean, Mercedes Lewis, he had productive receiving seasons too, right? But like, he's been in league.
Yeah, he made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I think he had like a 700 yard season. Where I think Washington can do that easily, and I think the upside is greater. But at the least, yeah, he can play 15 years as a run blocker. Yeah,
become Aaron Rodgers' best friend
and wear zero, which is the best part about it. Exactly. But yeah, like just, you know, the one hand stabs that he flashed is like, I know that's not the end all be all, but that's just like the glimpses of the potential as a pass catcher. You know, it's just like that's
you make a one handed catch, you're just tight end one.
He isn't, but yeah, exactly.
There's also, because this class is so good, there's multiple guys who I think could be the highest ceiling tight ends in multiple classes. It just so happens, like Dalton Kincaid is one of the most productive pass catching tight ends we've seen. Yep. Darnell Washington is just one of the biggest freak shows. But like Luke Musgrave, most years is the highest ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally true. I mean, hell, most years Michael Myers highest floor, highest ceiling, and best bet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. moving to value pick, and with I think probably 7 to maybe 10 tight ends going in the first three rounds. Who's the guy who you don't, we'll just say you don't have a top 100 grade on, but you very much see a pathway to him being a starting tight end in the league?
Yeah, I think this is kind of a tough question in this class because like usually this is like your 10 and 5, right?
Yeah.
So I wrote down two names. It's my 8 and 9. I was going to kind of audible based on who you went with.
I can go first.
No. You know what I'm gonna throw out? I'm gonna throw out Brenton Strange from Penn State.
Yeah, that's the right pick. That's my pick as well.
I like Brenton Strange a lot. Who I don't have a top 100 grade, and like that's kind of a guy that like doesn't quite have the skill set that I think will get him in the top 100. But I got like an early fourth round on him, so like he's right there.
Yeah, I think the thing for Brenton Strange is he's just not as clearly projectable as a pass catching threat as some of these other guys, like a high end pass catching threat. Yeah. Some of these other guys, he tested well still. Like, that's how good this class is. Like, he was in the 91 percentile for 10 yard split, 92 for broad. Like, he's an explosive guy, just not the same type of athlete as these other guys.
Just the agility was a little bit below average, but like, funny enough, if you watch him on tape, I think that's what you would think he tests the best at, which is kind of so.
And
yeah,
also, just a guy who, he is not afraid to tangle as a run blocker.
He plays every, like, not just as a run blocker, but he just plays hard. He has one speed, which is just fucking go. I love it. He's got tenacity to him. And yeah, definitely just.
He's also a guy who I think, he was played a lot of H-back for Penn State. And like, you would be like, oh, like, he's probably an F. I think he's one of the guys who can kind of jump between them. Like, he's shown enough athleticism and pass catching prowess to be more of that move guy, but also he's such a physical and willing blocker in the run game that he can be a wide tight end. He's not the biggest guy, but he's still over 250. Like, he's heavier than Michael Martin. He's 253, he's 6'4". He's also a very good chain mover. I think my biggest knock on him was kind of contested catch situations, and you'll note his arm length's in the third percentile. Like, it makes sense that he's not maybe the best in those 50-50 ball spots, but he's just, I thought he was really good at moving the chains over the middle. He like I said, really willing in the run game. He just checks a lot of boxes for being a solid NFL tight end.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like, if you want him in that like not pure H-back, but, like, you know, he was really effective as a lead blocker, too, which a lot of some of these guys mm-hmm. aren't because they're a little, you know, longer and stringier, but he's yep. more compact build. So he was really good at that, and he's got the tenacity to him, like we said. But yeah, I think just like that's really solid chain mover, like you said, like just the hands are solid. Like he turns into a runner after the catch, and like he's got some pretty good yak. Like he's got like good contact balance. It comes with that compact size, and then as a blocker, yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see exactly how that blocking translates to the NFL. But like at the very least, like I said, I think he's really effective as a lead. And just really good in space. Like, he just picks up guys on the outside and buries them. Yeah. And, like, just, like, he's got enough juice to him, too. Like, he's coming off the line good. I agree. Like, I think the technique, blocking-wise, will probably have to improve. Kind of, like, just square guys up a little bit more consistently. And, like you said, like, it just not a great contested catch guy. He's probably not going to be a big deep threat or anything like that. The route running isn't, I don't think, any special. But just a guy that, like, yeah, you're tight end, too. He's open, you hit him, he's going to catch it, and he's going to pick up some yardage. Like, that's... On day three, why the fuck not, right?
Who was the other guy you were...
I'll save it, because I'll make him my wild card now.
Whoa.
I thought wild card was hard, that's why.
They're all wild cards to me. Going to sleeper, we're talking 6th, 7th round, maybe in this class, it could be a 5th round or even. Tight end that... Maybe not a guy you're projecting who has a chance to be a tight end one day, but like a very productive, solid tight end too.
I think I stole yours, so just say yours.
I'm going to be so mad if yours is...
Blake Whitehart. Blake
Whitehart. Shut up. Blake Whitehart is mine, man. Like, come on.
That's why I let you go first. This is
the East-West Shrine Bowl. That's my guy. I love Blake Whitehart. Just talking, like, was not really on my radar. Damn. During Shrine Bowl practices, he was clearly the best tight end there. Solid tight end group there, too. And a guy who just kept getting open and catching kind of everything coming his way. He was really good with his stem work. He had a really good understanding of how to create separation using his size. And then you get to the tape, and he's got great hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a super dynamic guy. But he can move the chains for you. A very, very willing blocker. They kept him home and their weird slow mesh offense. He's pass blocking a lot more than other guys. Yeah. And then he tested pretty well. He tested better than I was expecting. I kind of see him being a tight end too, who's got the ability to. I want to see him add a little bit of weight. I think, but
agreed.
Can be a Y tight end too. Who's helpful in the run game. When you do throw to him, he catches it. He kind of climbed the ladder a bit. You throw him in the Louisville game, you see him climb the ladder.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I could see him being like a Tyler Conklin type of tight end. A guy who toils as a solid number two. And when he gets his chance, he steps up.
Yeah, I'm very much there with you. Like you said, like, not a lot of production there at Wake, but...
It's that stupid offense.
It's a stupid offense.
But I love it.
But yeah, like, I think when you see the glimpses, that's a good pass catcher. Like, there are glimpses of, like, just some really nice, you know, high snags on tape. I think just soft hands overall. And then a guy that, like, you know, blocks well. Like, he's got that good wide base. He moves in, like, you know, that classic choppy steps. Like, he's moving guys. He's got good technique there. And then, like... And like you said, he pass protects a lot, and he does it pretty well. But then also, like, as a route runner, you kind of see him throw a little bit of tempo at it. But, like, he's not going to wow with anything athletic. I don't think he's not going to wow with speed. He's you know, there's not a whole lot of snap to those routes or anything. And the yak isn't much there. But I agree. All the pieces are there for him to turn into, like, a pretty damn solid tight end, too. Concerns are, I think, like... pretty lean build, like you said. He needs to add some muscle, especially the lower half. He's gonna hit those leg days, and you know, weirdly though, good hands, but like small hands, under 9 inches, which not a huge deal, but that's just another thing to throw out there. But yeah, I like it. I got a 6th round grade on him. I kind of think I see that path to him being a potential 10-2 for a while.
Yeah, a guy who I think in other classes would have a lot more buzz.
But agrees.
This class is so good.
Yeah, there's so many guys that are, like, you know. In so many classes where, like, you're taking shots on and they'd be going higher than he's going to be. But like you said, just because the class is so damn good.
Who's your deep sleeper? We're talking,
Again, in this class, maybe he's a seventh round pick. I have a draftable on my guy. I don't know if he'll get drafted, though.
Yeah, I don't have a draftable on mine. There was no guy that like fits the deep sleeper mold that I felt like just like, you know, is kind of my guy. There's a lot of like, you know, later guys that I like, but not I don't know. I like them too much, maybe. So I'm going to kind of a funky pick with Michael Ezeke from UCLA.
I heard he had a good PA Bowl week.
Yeah, and I think like another guy that not a lot of production on you know, at UCLA. But just kind of like this, he didn't test very well. Like he had a really bad agility scores, but like 4.74 and like solid jumps, like that's good. Take that. And like he's got the pedigree, former 4-star guy. And kind of like what's like the H-back, you know, role for them at UCLA, but like, you know, threw in the slot at a lot of times. But I just kind of like, I thought, watch the tape. I think he's a better athlete than he tested. Just kind of like a springy mover. He got some move out there. The hands are pretty solid. Can box guys out a bit. The routes are good enough. Enough like thumping him, blocking in space and stuff, and enough juice to do some after the catch. I think like the block effort is solid, but like he just doesn't have the strength to handle like, you know, defensive line or edges in the NFL. And another guy that's kind of got that lean, like he's 6'5", 241, so kind of similar build to Whitehart, where he's kind of high cut and has that lean lower half. Again, not a lot of production, but like he popped in that the USC game down the stretch, where I think he had 3 touchdowns. So like I don't know exactly what he's going to end up becoming, but if you want that kind of like that more H-backy move guy, I think there's some potential there. Like again, don't have a draftable grade on him, but a guy you get undrafted, I think he could come in and then surprise in camp.
Okay, mine feels a little more well known than yours. Despite being FCS tight end, I'm going with Noah Gindorf.
That was my other. I was gonna consider Gindorf.
of North Dakota State, my last draftable tight end.
Great. I don't have draftable on him, but I love him.
6'6", 263. If you want a guy who will probably catch 2 passes a year, mm-hmm. but be an impact player mm-hmm. in the run game, this is your guy. he uses that size to his full potential. He's like the only other tight end in the class who rivals
Darnell Washington
in terms of size. he's a better technical blocker, I think, than Darnell Washington, too. Just really physical, really that's, like, he knows that's why he's on the field.
Yeah.
The Bisons just line him up in line all the time and utilize him there. And then every once in a while when they throw him a pass, like, he uses his size to haul him in and it gets the job done. Good arm length too on him, 33 and 8. He's like, yeah, I don't know, he's Eric Tomlinson, you know, like you take him in the 7th round, he can be your tight end run blocking specialist tight end. Maybe your tight end too is a more athletic guy on passing downs, but I don't know. I just see like guys like Noah Gindorf carve out careers
yeah,
in the NFL.
Yeah, they do. I threw a Billy Bajima comp on him.
Gosh,
I thought like one thing like watching his earlier, you know, earlier career tape at North Dakota State. One thing that I thought like was really important for him to get better at, and he did, was like just getting out in space and blocking better, and he did.
Yeah,
and I think that's like not that that's going to make or break his career, but I think that's just saying a lot.
Against Arizona, he had a nice little pancake getting out in space. I think on a little screen pass where he hammered the dude.
No, that's a great pick for deep sleeper.
Thank you. Now, I didn't tell you to do a super duper deep sleeper.
Oh, I don't. My one was already like, okay, I'm gonna switch. Where my deep sleeper was Gindorf, and my super duper is Ezeke.
Okay, but I just wanted to pitch you on something. It's March Madness.
Oh, okay, this is way better. Yeah.
The Miami Hurricanes have a pretty great now. They're in the Final Four. Do you know that, AJ? Florida basketball is better back than Florida football.
Yeah.
The state of Florida, that is. The Gators suck at everything.
gotta edit that out. But, we've been there before.
But yeah, the Miami Hurricanes have a 6'7", 248-pound center. And now he's only a junior, and I'm probably gonna say his name wrong. Norcad Omir, who is averaging 13.3 points, 10.1 rebounds this year. He's really fun to watch, too. Like, just dominates the boards. He was an Arkansas State transfer. Last year, he averaged nearly 18 and 12 boards. Like, he is, to me, like, he looks like an offensive tackle, just playing basketball. Like, he kind of looks like Paris Johnson in terms of his size. Just like if Paris Johnson lost 50 pounds. Jim Larinaga, he has the future starting tight end of the New Orleans Saints on his
mind. Jimmy Graham comp. Write it down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Does he have a penchant for flying airplanes and whatever else Jimmy likes?
Point being. He won't be this year, but he'll be my highest ceiling next year.
I got a guy that caught my eye in March Madness that I think could turn into a football player.
It's worth noting, every year there's like one. Yeah. Like, I mean, hey, the Jaguars tight end Chris Manhurts played college basketball at Kinesis or something, and he's the best blocking one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL right now. And then of course our king Mo Alley Cox, like, we get him every year.
My issue is my guy is like, I think like an actually a good basketball player though. That's the only issue.
Well, so is my guy.
Yeah, I know. How about Mizzou's Kobe Brown, who's 6'8", 250. Looks like he might have a couple of extra lbs on that frame too. Just with that frame, you can shoot the three though. That's
yeah, crazy. I think your problem there is like he might actually play.
That's why I said he's good.
Yeah. Okay. Not that Omer can't, but I just think maybe he's be better in the NFL. I'll give you an actual one. Georgia Tech receiver EJ Jenkins, who is a 6'6", 245-pound receiver, that's going to play tight end in the NFL. I'll say this: just watch him against Pittsburgh.
Okay, I didn't watch him, so
it's okay. He was a South Carolina transfer. He had like 17 catches this year, 12 last year with South Carolina. Was in the FCS at St. Francis, I think. PA. And he's super interesting. Yes, there's also two other big receivers: Louisiana's John Stevenson, Ohio's James Bostic, who maybe features at tight end. Anyway, let's get to wild card.
I don't think there's like a clear cut, like, oh yeah, this is. So I ended up just calling it Zach Kuntz, baby.
I think Luke Musgrave is a complete wild card.
That's an interesting one too. I mean, we got to talk about both. So Zach Kuntz, I'm just gonna say wild card because holy fuck, what a damn athlete! 6'7", 255. He blew everything up. Like, you know, perfect RAS score. He ran a 4.55. The jumps and agility are elite. You know, he's got
everything over. Everything over 90%.
Yeah, he's a freak. And then, you know, he missed most of this past season, and I think he's a little bit older of a prospect too, the Penn State transfer. But man, like I mean I like Zach Kuntz. I'm high on him.
You see the athleticism on tape too.
Oh
like,
yeah,
he's not just like they split him out throwing the Virginia game. They split him out like mm-hmm. you can see the wiggle in his routes. Mm-hmm. He is super interesting.
Yeah, he is. Now I think the big thing is those hands are pretty damn iffy. You see some bobbles, and mm-hmm. there are some like really nice, impressive catches. I watched that UVA game not, too.
Yeah.
But there's some like easy ones where he's like, it takes a couple and he hauls it in, and then, you know, I mm-hmm. think he's gonna struggle in line. But that doesn't matter when you're 6'7", 255, and you're a freak. So like it's funny. Like in last year's class, I think this is a guy like he probably would have been pretty high for both of us on our boards
and top five. Easy.
Yeah, exactly. Or like I got him like I think I have an early fifth on him. But just going to be so interesting to see where he goes. And it kind of sucks for him that, like, missed this past season or most of it and is in this class, where I think a lot of classes, like, that's a guy you swing on earlier than he's going to end up going.
Speaking of big, long, athletic tight ends, so I got Musgrave here because, I don't know, he's been kind of polarizing in that he went from being, like, this first top 20 lock mm-hmm. to, for some reason, he's dropped, but, like, nothing's happened to make him drop. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're seeing him mock super early. Now Dalton Kincaid's being mocked super early. Musgrave's more of this, like, mid-second guy, which is where I think he should have been this whole time.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's no games have been played since then. He tested really well at the combine. Mm-hmm. He's 6'6", 253. His broad was in the 93rd percentile, like 88th percentile 40-yard dash. If you liked him, I don't know what's changed. He's missed 12, or he's only played 12 games the last 2 years. Yeah. That's a big question. He's not super great in contested, not super consistent in contested catch situations.
Yeah.
But he is so good down the seam. He is so explosive. He you can flex him out. He's not great or consistent in contested catch situations. Like, you see the length in the ball skills show up. Just throw it high, you could throw it low. Like, he's got bend too.
Yeah.
I think he's a really boomer bust guy.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. He really is. Because, like, that, the blocking, like, the strength of the, at the point of attack, like, that's just going to need a lot of work. And you know, he's just more of that well off kind of blocker. And, like you said, though, like, the catching in traffic, it probably could use quite a bit of improvement. And I feel like the Yak isn't as good as the guy you'd expect from that athletic profile. Like through contact and stuff. So I totally agree. If those clean up, he's got all the traits to be a high end receiver. Like, but
like I think some people, is he Darren Waller? Like some mm-hmm. will sell themselves on that, right? Where Darren Waller's a tight end quotations, but he's like this move F tight end who's at his best playing, truly playing just as a mismatch at receiver. And I think that's how you get the most out of Luke Musgrave. But I think the difference there is Waller, even better athlete, and Waller better in those contested catch situations.
I kind of dogged Musgrave on the post-combine show because I've never been on that first-round train with him, right? And everyone was. And then, like, the combine was still so good, but he was expected to, like, shine amongst this group, and he didn't. Like I said on the show, like, Luke Schoonmaker, like, put a lot of numbers similar to him, you know, not all in the hole, but he almost was as fast.
Big Ten built different.
That's true. But maybe that's the recipe for why he's kind of lost the steam. But
at the same time, he scored a 9.77.
Exactly. Rise, no, right? I'm not saying, like, it's intelligent.
He's a freak show.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay.
I'm not saying it's intelligent. I'm just saying it's maybe that's why. I don't know. But yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. Like, but where I have him is still based on, like, that potential of, like, that, like you said, how dangerous he is getting vertical, and just the nimble feet, the oily hips to him, like, just he's such a loose athlete. I think, like, the testing is great. Like, who cares if it was a 4.61? That's still amazing. Like, it's weird, even though he didn't run a 4.4, which I think people were potentially throwing out there. And, like, you know, like you said, super athletic at the catch, like, just such a very fluid athlete. I think there are some tools there to be a competent blocker. He's never going to be high end, though. I totally agree. He is super boomer bust, though. But the right team, the right situation, I think it's going to hit. And it's still a guy you roll the dice on, but not in the first. I got a mid to late second round grade on him. And there I'll be fine, you know.
Mm. Now, who's your best bet?
I put Darnell Washington. Hit that already, baby.
It's really interesting to me. It depends what you're looking for. It's
very much so.
I think if you just want a complete safe tight end, I think it's Michael Maher. If you want a tight end you know you're going to utilize as an F and just immediate trustworthy in the passing game, I think it's Dalton Kincaid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
no, I was just going to say, and with, for me, like I said, Washington would have been my runner-up for highest floor and ceiling. And we talked about him ad nauseum already, and the blocking combined with the upside as a pass catcher. Just if I'm, like I said, I think he's the only guy I would like, or he'd be the first guy I took in the first round, really. The guy I'd be most comfortable taking in the first round, because worst comes to worst, you've got a elite blocker.
And lastly, we put the fullbacks with the tight ends this year. Who's your best fullback?
I like Hunter Luepke. I'm quite a fan of him. He's my 13 here in this group. I got, like, a late 5th, early 6th. He's kind of funky because he's, like, not a real fullback, you know? Like, he's
a running back.
He's a running back that kind of lines up at tight end, is, like, a wildcat guy. And, like, his lead blocking is, like, his worst trade, which is kind of scary. But I don't know what you're doing with him, but the talent is there. Like, he hand the ball off to him. He runs well, you know? He's got the good purse and runs hard. And I do think as a receiver, though, like, you see some really, like, he's got a great wheel route and very, very interesting. And I think like the hands are
Shanahan
soft. And,
system will love him.
Yeah, exactly. So one of those teams has to take him, please.
I didn't rank him with the tight ends, just for the
record. I did just to get him in there.
Okay. My other option, I put Oklahoma's Braden Willis,
mm-hmm.
who I think is going to be a better true fullback than Hunter Luepke.
Yeah, I think that's fair. How about
Braden Willis, a super useful player.
How about the best player in college football, Jack Coletto?
Hey, I think he'll make a roster
probably right? Or a practice squad. I don't know. Like, he's another guy. Like, he just did everything for Oregon State.
He actually looked pretty solid at the East-West Shrine Bowl.
Do you have a draftable on Luepke?
No.
I respect that. I don't respect that, but I understand.
Oh. Do you respect or do you
not? I do not, but I understand.
He just below. He's a fullback who's kind of undersized.
It definitely
doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, he's very scheme specific, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The right team, though. That's enough. Very useful player. Anyways, continue.
You want to do our 20-16?
I just put my draftable grades, but you go your 20-16.
Okay, well, I had to get Louisville's Marshawn Ford in there at 20.
Of course you did, yeah.
Who, I still can't believe, like, nothing has, like, he wasn't invited to anything.
Yeah, it's weird.
Very productive ACC tight end. Maybe more of a fullback at the next level, given his size, but.
Yeah.
Then I put my guy, Georgia Tech's EJ Jenkins. 18, I got Nebraska's Travis Vokolek.
That's your guy. Sorry, yeah.
AJ, I've never seen someone more, like, absurd running routes than him at the East West Rumble. Like, it was just, like, not under control, but, like, working because he's so big and, like, it was so
weird. Is that, like, falling to your style?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
17, my first draftable, North Dakota State's Noah Gindorf. And then 16, Oklahoma's Braden Willis, who, like I said, I think is a very useful player, kind of like an Andrew Beck.
It's funny. Finish your drink. Actually, I put 17 down. Finish your drink and Noah Gindorf. Because I would just open my file. Okay. Actually, I have 16 draftable, so I'll throw you my 16. It's Miami's Will Mallory, who I got a mid-6 on in.
Fast 40th combine.
Yeah, it's still interesting. Still interesting.
Super interesting. That says a lot about this class. Yeah. Your 16th tight end can be an interesting tight end prospect. Yep. Okay, give me your 15 to 11.
15, I got your king, Blake Whitehart, also an early mid-6 on him. So low on 14, him. I got the GOAT, Payne Durham. I got an early 6 on him.
Me too, finish your drink.
13 is where I put Hunter Lupke. I got a late 5th, early 6th.
Respect.
There's a dangerous player there somewhere. 12, I got Cameron Law too, who I think is just well-rounded, late 5th round grade. And 11, I got Josh Wiley. My once king.
Hey, finish your drink.
Also a late 5th round grade on him.
Josh Wiley, another tight end who, if he was in a different class, yeah. I feel like we'd be talking about him more.
I agree.
Okay. 15, I got Alabama's Cameron Latu. 14, I have Purdue's Payne Durham. 13, I have Miami's Will Mallory. 12, I have Wake Forest's Blake Whitehart. And 11, I have Cincinnati's Josh Wiley.
Okay. Anyone you really want to dig into, or
if Payne Durham was a little more athletic, he's got great hands and he's so good in traffic.
Yeah,
he's just not very athletic.
I know it really though. I think Payne Durham's gonna stick around a while. Like, he's just like,
yeah, Payne Durham would have been a starting tight end 30 years ago.
Oh yeah,
like a go-boy.
Oh yeah, the athleticism. But like a guy that blocks really well and is gonna catch everything, just not gonna beat anyone in coverage.
Yeah, Cam Latu, he's not athletic enough for me, and he's like, I still have a 6'7",
yeah,
not super athletic, solid player, kind of an H-backy type at his size, but
I think like he's well rounded, like he's like, you know, he's a decent blocker, but like it's more like a wall than a plow blocking style, but yeah, the athleticism isn't special, but like I don't know, I think like blocking wise there you do see some pancakes, which is kind of funky, you wouldn't expect it, it's like he's kind of inconsistent, but otherwise I think like pretty well rounded, but like just, and like good hands, I think, and like keeps it away from the defender, like good catching outside his frame, but yeah, I don't know, I think like day 3 guy that can maybe hang around.
Mallory's like a big wide receiver.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's fun.
He is fun.
And then yeah, Josh Wiley's interesting, he's so long, he's good hands, runs better routes than I was expecting for a tight end of his size. Mm-hmm. Good athlete, can win contested catches, can kind of line up all over the place too. You saw him line up at fullback a little bit, even, but
yeah, he does.
He's a guy who I don't have a 4th round grade on him, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him there.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of tight ends in like the similar frame as him go in the 4th round. I don't disagree there. That whole group for me, like I have quite a few 5th round grades, but like that one, that 11 through like 16 really, it's like it's pretty tight for me. It's all like just pick your flavor. They're fun though.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what it is. Want to give me your 10 to 6?
Yeah. 10, I got Daniel Jeremiah's first player on this board.
me too.
Davis Allen from Clemson. I got an early 5th, so a bit of a jump from Wiley to him.
Same.
I found him really hard to comp. You know, I really wanted to comp him to Charlie Kohler, but...
I got the comp.
What is it?
Josh Oliver.
Okay, he's Josh Oliver comp. That's a good one.
He's big. He's good in contested catch situations. He's a great blocker, but like it doesn't seem to all come together in the passing game.
Yeah, very much. I threw Blake Jarwin, but I like yours better. 9, I got Zach Kuntz, also an early 5th. I don't know. He's another guy that's tough to comp. I put juiced up Colby Parkinson. That's my comp. Eight is where I got Brenton Strange, so a bit of a gap. I have Kuntz early 5th. I got Strange to an early 4th. I gave him the Tyler Conklin comp. And then we get into the big boys. 7, I got Sam Laporta. Late 3rd grade. Hayden Hurst comp. 6, I got the GOAT, Luke Schoonmaker, late 3rd.
Hey, me too. So he's right where he deserves
to be. I found another guy that was really hard for me to comp. So Luke Schoonmaker is my favorite, so I went with my favorite tight end, Luke Wilson.
I thought you were going to say, so I comped him to Luke Schoonmaker.
that's maybe more appropriate.
10, I got Davis Allen of Clemson, 5th round grade, Josh Oliver comp.
I like that.
9, I have Penn State's Brenton Strange with a 4th round grade and Austin Hooper comp. 8, I have Old Dominion Zach Kuntz, 4th round grade, Mike Gesicki comp. 7, I have South Dakota State's Tucker Kraft, 3rd round grade, Hunter Henry comp. And then 6, I have Michigan's Luke Schoonmaker, 3rd round grade, Dalton Schultz comp.
Okay, Davis Allen, it's so true. Like, he's got a lot of pieces there, and he's really good contested catch. His testing was fine, and like, I think that you throw on the field, like he looks fine. You know, you're right. It just never feels like it all comes together though. But like that body control, and, that weapon in the midair is really interesting.
Yeah, he'll make like one jaw dropping catch a game, then like not be involved in the passing attack again. But he's a good blocker, and he blocks well in space.
Yeah.
Good size. I want to see him add like 15 pounds. Yeah, but
agreed. If he has that muscle, he could be a very solid round blocker.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a very impactful player there.
I think he's definitely a guy that can hang around. Like if he hits the gym, like I think he will. But you know, hits the gym, it gets in the weight room, and just everything comes together. I don't think he's ever going to be like a high end guy like Daniel Jeremiah thought for a split second, but he can definitely hang around for a long time.
Yeah, agreed.
We talk strange.
You're
a little higher on Kuntz, but I totally get it. I mean, I'd buy in too. It's just
traits, baby.
Yeah, the hands are a little just the last thing holding me back.
I think if I'm swinging on a tight end on day 3, I got to swing on him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
6'8" with that athleticism.
I agree.
And that's if I'm swinging. If I just want a guy I know is going to be very solid, that's why I take Brenton Strange over him. But I got Kuntz above for those traits. Tucker Kraft's in your top 5, so we'll save him.
Sure.
Luke Schoonmaker, great blocker, good athlete, good solid hands, not super dynamic. The athleticism I found showed up more as a blocker than it does as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
A little older too, which dings him a bit. I think he's just a really solid guy. Like you take him probably late 3rd round.
Yep, that's where I got him.
And like he is like Dalton Schultz. Like he can give you 600, 700 yards and be one of the better blocking tight ends.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Schoonmaker's just like really safe. The athletic testing caught me by surprise. I never thought he'd test like that. Like that, he had the 6'8" cone at his pro day. Like where'd that come from? And like you look on tape, and I agree, it doesn't exactly show up, but like the traits like in bits and pieces are there. But yeah, just like another guy, like I like to see it throw on a couple more lbs of muscle, and then he's going to be a really solid blocker. Like he already is, but you know, just really solid and good good technique, and like just enough, you know, just enough speed, just enough wiggle to kind of get open. I think he's just going to be a guy that sticks around for a long time.
You want to do 5 to 1? We'll talk about the two guys that one of us each have.
Sure. 5 is where I got Tucker Kraft. I got a mid 3rd on him. I don't have a good comp. Who was your comp again? Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry.
I like that one. I went really lazy and did Dallas Goedert for just being extremely lazy. then we get into the big boys. We jump up from the mid 3rd to the late 2nd is where I got Michael Meyer. He's my 10 and 4. Still think he's the highest ceiling. I put Compa as Zach Miller.
Like highest floor, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, highest floor. Comp is Zach Miller. Three, I got Musgrave, just a little bit ahead of Meyer. I got like a mid to late second. I did the Mike Gesicki comp. And then two, I got Darnell Washington, early to mid second. Mercedes Lewis comp. And then Dalton Kincaid, early second. Set it, Zach Ertz.
Wow, I can't believe Musgrave over Meyer.
It's just that the upside of the pass catching ability. I don't know.
Five for me, I have Iowa's Sam Laporta. Third round grade, Evan Engram comp. Four, I have Oregon State's Luke Musgrave. Third round grade, Jordan Cameron comp. Three, I have Utah's Dalton Kincaid. High second round grade, Zach Ertz comp. I really went back and forth between Kincaid and Darnell as my two.
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate what Darnell brings to the field a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
So I have Darnell Washington of Georgia, two. Mercedes Lewis comp, high-end second-round grade. And then one, Notre Dame's Michael Meyer, high-end second-round grade, Heath Miller.
So not a lot splitting Meyer, Kincaid, and Washington.
All three of them are in the same tier for me,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Meyer, I can see him being like immediately just solid and I never have to worry about it, where I think there's a couple more questions with the other two.
Yeah, I mean that is definitely fair. I don't know, like the athleticism is fine. I just maybe, you know, I don't know how much he's gonna, I don't know, it's gonna translate well. Yeah, he's still the highest floor, you know. Meyer is like, it's just not as exciting compared to some of the other guys, but just more well-rounded and
gets the job.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he's gonna last for a long time in the NFL. Who do you want to talk? Sammy Laporta?
Tucker Kraft.
Okay, Tucker Kraft. Let's do it. Yeah, we're not too far apart. I'm just a little higher on him. Like, I think Kraft and Schoonmaker and Laporta are kind of my, like, that next group that you can kind of throw them any three, you know, ways.
I agree. It depends what you want. Like, I think Schoonmaker is the best blocker. I think Sam Laporta is the most dynamic in the passing game, and Tucker Kraft's kind of the most well-rounded.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. And Kraft, you throw on, like, he's listed 6'5", 254, but he looks like he's built a lot thicker.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I thought he looked huge in the Montana State game. Yeah. Also, they motion him and let him QB sneak all the time, and I love
great.
It.
He's really effective at it, too. But yeah, just like, you know, he's got that thick build. I'm sure he'll be back to that size. You know, good like speed to build up and threaten vertically. Like, just good, well-rounded. Like, good blocker.
Pretty smooth route runner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid blocker. Can do some damage up to the catch. I think you see his catch radius show up in 50-50 balls. Like,
another
really solid tight end.
Yeah, another guy that's effective as a lead blocker. Like, and the tools are there to be a better blocker, too. I like that. Like, super high effort. And, like, maybe, like, maybe the most nasty to him as a blocker.
He would have been my tight end one last year. Just like, that's how much, like, he's my tight end seven this year. Would have been my tight end one last year. Like, I like him a lot. There's just so many good tight ends.
For me, it would have been splitting hairs between him and McBride. So, yeah, I agree.
McBride wasn't even my tight end
one. I know he wasn't. Jelani was. I think, I don't remember my.
Go.
Yeah, again, he's just really well-rounded. I think he's gonna turn into a really solid tight end.
And then Sam Laporta. I think he's just such a good player after the catch. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the better route runners of the group. I thought he was so smooth.
Yeah. He's very fluid.
He's an F. Like, he's not a guy who he's not a great blocker. And
he isn't.
He's kind of willing. If I'm taking him, like, I hope to have like a true inline Y tight end to kind of pair with him.
Yeah, agreed. I will say, like, maybe the two things that were a little scarier for me is, like, can kind of just struggle hanging on to the ball through contact, and kind of like sometimes struggling outside his frame. But, like, yeah, I love the route running a lot, because, like, you see, like, a lot of nuance. I think maybe more than a lot of these guys, maybe more than anyone.
Yeah. Like, he is really good at setting up routes. Mm-hmm. I think you see, like, his change of direction show up. He stems his routes really well. And that for me, like, as much as I was worried because he's smaller than these other guys, he isn't as good a blocker.
Yeah.
It's just the combo of the route running and the yak.
Yeah, it's very good.
Plus, he's Iowa's emergency QB, so it's pretty sick.
All seven of these guys are just really good. And, like you said, could easily be tight end one last year.
Also, Sam Laporta was productive despite The Ference conundrum.
It's true. Well, he's a tight end in Iowa. He has to be productive.
Just that, to me, so impressive. This man had over 600 yards both of the last 2 years because in this offense.
He's damn good. Yeah, but like...
But yeah, no...
Yeah, no, he's just... I love the wiggle. Like, he's got some wiggle on his route running, too. Like, he'll throw a jab and throw it, like... He's tough. He's tough to cover, and I agree. I think that Kraft, Schoonmaker, Laporta is like flip a coin between the three of them. It's what you like more.
That's kind of how I feel with Meyer, Darnell, Washington, and Kincaid as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I the top four guys for me are kind of like that. And then those three,
I have Musgrave kind of in his own
little. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our big split. It's like. I kind of ended up buying into the Musgrave thing, where like I do have him in the second round. You have him in the third. It's just like that, you know, the receiving, like the athletic upside is very tantalizing. Yeah, it's just the ability to get vert. But like again, I totally agree. He's like got the biggest bust potential of these. Hell, even of the top seven, maybe. Like
this tight end class can be really fun to talk about as a rookie. I'm really excited to see where these guys land and how many we end up with in the first round. If you had to say, do you think how many will go
in the first? I'll land on two.
And which two do you think it'll be?
I think it's going to be Kincaid and Washington. I think it's going to be my top two.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Meyer very early second and Musgrave not far after.
Yeah, I kind of, as much as I don't want, because I hate the Bengals, I want one of them to land on the Bengals. I think that'd be fun.
Would be fun. I was going to say, you know what's kind of makes me sad about this class is I feel like a lot of these guys are going to come in and, like, replace guys that found homes last year. Because a lot of those guys kind of, like, emerge as, like, you know, very productive, and, like the vet tight end that was ahead of them or whoever are kind of gone now, you know? And now I'm worried that these guys are going to get usurped. But let me ask you one last question before I go. How many guys do you see get into the second, you know, like the top 60 picks?
I will say if I'm saying two in the first, whichever my top three doesn't go, so plus Luke Musgrave, mm-hmm. I think only two go in the second, and then you get Laporta, Schoonmaker, and Kraft all in the
third. That's how I stack them, and that might be where they push you. Like, they don't rise and stuff, yeah.
I guess one last question is, do you think Kuntz, Strange, or Davis Allen get into the third?
I think Kuntz could. Yeah, I do.
Like someone just swings it.
I could see it.
I just want to say the Raiders at 38 kind of need a tight end.
Yeah, they do.
That could be that could be an interesting learning spot.
Yeah. Hey, speed, baby. They want Musgrave. Lock it in.
That'd be quite interesting. What if they take? Hear me out. What if they take Michael Meyer at 38, and then at 100 they take Zach Kuntz?
That's kind of sick,
isn't it? McDaniels comes from New England. We know they like two tight ends.
That's true.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.